We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you be in our midst.
Yes,
Father, send the anointing to break the yoke of bondage, Father God. We ask you for supernatural power to dwell here within your people, Lord God. Stir the rivers of living water within the belly of the believers and bring forth life, Almighty God. Let your servants, Lord, bring forth your word. Let it be the words of Almighty God and not merely the words of men. Let us decrease, Lord Jesus, that you might increase. And send your word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to start with a little retro. Can we go a little retro? You know what retro is? Well, we're gonna think on the former things for just a moment because it does have a purpose. So, since 1995, God's been giving me a word every year. Did you pass these out?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I was waiting. Did they go out?
Only a few.
If you want one and you raise your hand, you may have one. Kimmy will bring them to you.
I mean, there's some stuff, and we're going to talk very briefly about 2011 and what the word was for 2011 and about the promise. Oh, did you want to start there?
No. I'm just going to say, for those of you that are wondering why 2005 has an underline on it, 2005 was the year that the ministry center started. No, discipline was twice. And joy was twice and change was twice. So that was actually why that was underlined. And some of you have asked, well, what were the words that have happened since the ministry center came into being? And that was when the ministry center was founded. The ministry, we actually formalized the ministry in 1998. Interestingly enough, the year of simplicity. And as you know, that's
totally
not a simple,
simple
thing now,
since.
Is it?
Life has not gotten more complicated, only simpler. So what we're going to talk about is promise and the promise. John 20, verse 22, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Look, as we look back at last year, it's important to remember this because it was the year of promise. The year of promise. Now, promise looks different because some people thought, ooh, I get my promise. What God said was, you get the promise.
Amen.
The promise of the Holy Spirit. And we saw the Holy Spirit manifested in supernatural ways. In Acts 1:1-14, he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Amen. It says, the gift my Father promised, which was the Holy Spirit.
Amen. He goes on and down in verse 5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so they met together. And he goes on and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When you receive the promise, you will receive power. And when you receive power, then you will become my witnesses. Not just a witness of something that's been read, but people will look at you and they will say, you have the promise. You received the promise. You've experienced the promise. I can see it on you in the way you live, in the way you move, in the way you breathe. There were people that knew the word, but they'd never received the promise. They could be tellers of the word, which means they'd read and they could tell what they'd read, but they hadn't received it. They hadn't experienced it. Many of you, in fact, New Year's, I was talking to Kathleen. She said, you know what this year did for me? She goes, I found the Holy Spirit in a deeper way than I ever have before in my life. What did she find? She found the promise. Amen. she found the promise.
See, look, not just witnesses, not just I've heard of this, but I've had it. Yeah. The power has filled me. The power of the Holy Spirit has launched me. With that promise, we become witnesses, and he witnesses one who testifies. And so as that power of the Holy Spirit comes, it says, after Jesus came, he gave many convincing proofs. Can I tell you that when you have the power of the Holy Spirit, there are many convincing proofs. It is no longer just me talking and telling you something, trying to convince you. When people need to be convinced, they'll have to be convinced the rest of their lives. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes, you never have to convince them again.
If you go back up, and some of you turn there, and up in Acts 1, verse 3, it says, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Now, they're speaking of Jesus here. After his suffering, he showed himself. I'm going to tell you something that the Holy Spirit will do for you, is in the middle of your suffering, people will see many convincing proofs that there is no line of delineation between where you're alive and where you're dead. Somehow or another, you have overcome the grave. You've overcome the report. You have overcome the fall. You have overcome the odds. You have overcome the world. And people look at you and they say, oh my gosh, you're suffering. And yet, every time somebody talks to you, Robert, my son comes home. He's like, that man just encourages me so much. Why? Because you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit testifies in the midst of your suffering, beyond your suffering. A lot of you in the year of promise have experienced some pretty huge, horrific, some might even call tragic things. And yet, when you have the promise, then what happens is there is convincing proofs that people can see that in the midst of your suffering, you're still alive by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Romans 15:13, Noel. Put that up there. Romans 15:13. If you have your Bible, feel free to turn there. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him.
Amen.
So that you may overflow with hope by the what? The power of the Holy Spirit. See, look. May the God of hope fill you with how much joy?
All.
How much peace?
All.
All joy, all peace as you trust in him. So that what happens? I am overflowing with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's what we're talking about. Those who found this and received this year, those who have found this place in the Holy Ghost are like, oh, I'm different. See, there's something different. It's not just another year. It's overflowing with hope.
Yes. Amen.
Are you overflowing with hope?
Yes.
Amen.
If you're not overflowing with hope, it's okay. Go to Romans 15:13 and pray this. May my God, the God of hope, fill me with all joy and peace.
Amen.
As I trust in him.
Amen.
So that I may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
See, because you're going to be marked. Can I tell you? You're going to have a mark. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to have a mark.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the mark of the beast. It's the mark of the Holy Spirit,
that's
which
right.
is upon you. And nobody can deny it. You're going to have evidence. Because in Ephesians 1, verse 13, it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Look, and you got a brand. You got a brand from the Holy Ghost. With fire. He said, I will baptize you with water, but there comes one who will baptize you with fire.
Amen.
The promised Holy Spirit. That seal is upon you, that promise.
The disciples, they gathered together They got in unity in one place. It says they all joined together consistently in prayer. And what did they do? They didn't run all around trying to find the promise. They waited. And they waited. And they waited. And they sought Him. And they waited. And they sought Him. And they waited. And then what happened? It came. And it fell on Him. And the fire of the Holy Ghost says that the tongues of fire came and it fell upon them all separately. All in one accord, but yet separately. Why? Because like it says in the Word, the gifts fall differently according to as the Father perceives they should fall. So they sat there and they're in unity. And one of the things that you see if you go on and read in the books of Acts is that there's always rewards in life. There's a reward for righteousness and there's a reward for wickedness. But there's always a reward in life. And the reward for those who took the time, like the disciples did, to sit and wait on God. What the reward was in the year of promise, they received the greatest promise of all, which was the promise of the Holy Spirit. Anybody find it last year? Maybe in a new way. Maybe you had the Holy Spirit, but you got closer than you've ever been. Maybe you learned how to hear His voice in a different way. Maybe you learned how to be more at peace sitting in the presence of your enemies by the power of the Holy Spirit than you've ever been able to do in your life. Like it talks about in Psalm 23, where I'm just sitting there in the presence of my enemies and the Lord is filling me with eternal joy. Why? Because I got the promise of the Holy Spirit. I learned how to sit, to be in unity, and to receive the Holy Spirit. Now we're heading into a new year.
Because see, look, they all got together. They all got filled with the promise of the Holy Spirit, right? And with that promise in their hand, it says they went forth daily. How often?
Daily.
It wasn't every once in a while. It wasn't every seventh day. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it wasn't every seventh day. Some people are like, I've been to church already this week. I prayed once. I was at church. I opened my Bible when Pastor said to. Look, this is a 365-day-a-year, 7-day-a-week, 24 hours a day. You feel like you can take a vacation from God. I pray God does not take a vacation from you.
Amen.
Look, when you take a vacation, I'm all about vacations. Don't take a vacation from God. People go, I'm going to Mazatlan. I'm not going to pray. That's why they get Montezuma's revenge.
Noelle, put up Acts 2, 42 through 47. This is what happened after they got the promise.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. To the breaking of some bread. And to what? Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued. How often?
Daily.
What? How many days?
Daily.
They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being
saved. Amen.
Can I tell you what? Daily, it was not, it doesn't say, and they let the apostles pray for people, and they let the apostles break bread, and they went to the apostles' house every seventh day, sometimes twice in a week. It says every day. Now look, we're not here every day. Where are you?
Being witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Hopefully.
Do you work in Judea or Samaria or the uttermost parts of the earth? See, look, if you're not here, what are you supposed to be doing? Devoting yourselves daily to the apostles' teaching. Breaking bread and fellowshipping. And what? Pray. We've got to pray. Amen? All right, so you got the promise. Now you know what to do with the promise. When you get the promise, what do you got to do? Every day, seeking the apostles' doctrine, breaking bread, fellowshipping, and praying. Are we doing all those things? Because that's what the promise gave us. So that we can, those of you who weren't here last night, pursue. Pursue. See, look, can I tell you, if you pursue without the promise, you will be like Joshua in his second battle. Read the book, Joshua the Ai. Oh, that's a little tiny thing. We'll send a couple thousand men over there. And the next thing you know, here comes Israel with their tail tucked between their legs going, hoo, 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 hoo. Why? Because they sought to pursue without the promise. The promise which gave them the power. Look, as we look at where the Lord has taken us in the last 2 years, it was growth, then promise. Growth, a little maturity. We had to get our whiny pants off. We had to get our offended pants off. We had to grow up a little bit and realize that we weren't going to be fed baby milk for the rest of our lives. Amen? Look, steak is good. Paul said you should desire the meat. Kelsey, that's in the Bible. I'm sorry. Vegetarians, it's God's word. He did not say you should no longer desire the milk but the vegetables. He said the meat. Lord, I apologize, but you said it. And then the promise in preparation for pursuing. See, so that we, this year, look, like I said, promise, growth is painful. Anybody have growing pains when you were like, oh, yeah. Promise? That was not an easy one because the promise came with a cost.
You know, you look at God is so specific and so methodical in how he does things. And so often we're just trying to do our thing. But when you step back, one of the reasons years ago I started writing these down as Jerry would get them was so that I could watch. And I could look back and I could see. Even when he took the children to conquer the promised land, he took them place by place by place. And he didn't take them to place two until we'd finished place one. And when people come to me and they say, I have 15 things I need to get right in my life, I say, pick one. Just one. God will deal with the other 14. Just do one. Once you get one done, then move on to two. But don't try to do all 15 at once. Well, in 2010, we all need to grow up in our salvation. And that's what we did. It was about growth in ourselves, growing up in our salvation. And then last year, it was about growing in the promise. It was about being able to be filled, being able to receive the promise, so that, like Jerry said, when it was time to pursue, we were ready. We knew how to wait for the promise. Some people didn't even know what the promise felt like if it came upon them. So we had to learn who he was. The Holy Spirit had to be more than something in a book. It had to become our friend. If he's the paraclete, the one who walks alongside of it, then I need to know your voice. I need to be able to feel your presence. I need to be able to smell your aroma when you're in a room. I need to be so in tune with you that I could be all wrapped up in my world and boom, I'd just stop and go, oh, Holy Spirit, you are right here. And you are commanding my attention. That's how we needed to get to know him. So that then when he'd say, Jeff, I want you to pursue this, you can go, okay. I hear your voice and I know you're on the inside of me and I can take those steps now because I'm ready.
Look, the Lord has had us in this place of waiting. We got the promise. Look, what did it say? They went into the upper room to do what?
Wait.
Wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise. Being still before. Can I tell you? Being in an upper room in Jerusalem in the heat with a bunch of stinky people, you had to learn how to deal and wait for the promise. But like in Psalm 91, we have been resting under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty.
Amen.
Look, sitting still as you saw the arrows that fly by day. Come on, some of you saw those things go, whoo, went right on by you. It says pestilence stalking in the darkness. You know what pestilence does? It comes sneaky, coming to steal, kill, and destroy at nighttime. And the plagues destroying at midday. Look, we saw some plagues. Mm-hmm. Remember some of the plagues that you read about in Exodus? We've seen those things. But regardless of what's been happening around us, God said, wait. Mm-hmm. You're right here. Wait.
Regardless of the enemies that we saw surrounding us, you read Psalm 91 and you get this picture of this is what's happening. This is what we've been doing all last year. Just rest under my wing. And while you see all of these arrows and while you see these plagues and while you see these pestilence and while you see these enemies coming to kill, steal, you see it all. It's not like you're sitting here like this and God's got his wing and he's covering your eyes and you can't see. You can see everything that's going on and yet you're resting. That's what we were learning how to do. Rest. Rest. Waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Waiting in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Looking at the terror going on around you and going, Lord, I'm learning how to rest here. Lord, I'm learning how to rest here. Lord, I'm learning how to rest in your friendship. Father, I don't understand what's happening. But Lord, I'm just resting in the comfort of you. I'm resting in the counsel of you. You're telling me it's going to be all right. And I'm just like, okay. God, do you see all this? And he's going, yes, it's okay. I got you, baby. You're right here. And we were learning how to sit in that and wait in that and rest in that. And sometimes it felt radically fulfilling, didn't it? You just sit up here at the altar on your face and you're like, do we ever have to go home? Do we really have to lock the doors? This is so great. And sometimes it felt kind of foolish, didn't it? Didn't it? It's like, shouldn't we be doing something? Really, God? Do you see how much attack is going on? If I hear of one more person that dies, I think I'm going to scream. One more person that's sick. I'm sitting here and God, the enemy is advancing. This feels foolish. This is what we were learning how to do. We were learning how to rest, to receive, and to be with the greatest promise of all. Because now when it's time to pursue, now we're ready. Now we can. Now we have the power. Now we have the maturity. Now we have the guidance. Now we can be like, I used to ride horses. Dina used to ride horses. If you're a good trainer and you've got a good horse, you don't need a saddle. You don't even need reins. You can ride that thing just by your knees. And you can make that horse stop, go anywhere you want just by the movement of your legs and your body because you've become one. And that's what happens when you get that in tune with the Holy Ghost. You get to flowing in the Holy Ghost and you go, stop. And you're like, whoo. You don't go, but why? This is fun. I'm liking this. This is good. You're like, no. He said, stop. I'm going to stop. Now he says, go. I'm going to go. That's what pursue is. I'm in tune.
Look, apart from him, the pursuit is in vain. And you'll end up like one of those funniest home video guy on the horse where the horse stops. And the rider doesn't, right? We don't want to do that. When he says stop, I want to stop. When he says go, I want to be ready. That's what he's talking about. Remember that song? In him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being.
Are we stopping?
I was going to stop. Make a joyful noise. No. Because we're no longer just holding on, but we're in Him. Last year, I mean, a lot of people were just hanging on. Okay? It's not time to hang on anymore. I'm going to tell you, look, growing up on a farm, you know what? When a hawk comes over and there's a mother hen with her chicks, and they're all kind of spread out eating, and they hear that sound, or they see a shadow, you know what they do immediately? Right under her. And she just sits like this. That's what some of us did. Just got under that shadow. But you know what? We've grown up. We got some power now. And that hawk can't take us anymore. See, we're going to be going forward. We're going to begin to take back what has been stolen.
Amen.
I mean, look, the devil has taken some stuff. And we're going to take it back.
Amen.
We are going to pursue, in the book of Nahum, chapter 2, verse 2, the Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob like the splendor of Israel, though destroyers have laid them waste and have ruined their vines. Look, here's what the enemy would do. He would come in and just destroy your crops, know that you would starve to death. Even if he didn't kill you, he would take away what was yours. But taking back what is ours. You remember David and his mighty men at Ziklag? They left to go to battle. And the enemy came in and raided their camps, took all their wives and all their children and all of their plunder. Now in the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verse 19. Here's what God told them. He said, but don't stop. Pursue your enemies. Attack them from the rear and don't let them reach their cities. For the Lord your God has given them into your hand. He told David and his mighty men the same thing. He said, David, go pursue. You will return everything back. And not only that, but what was theirs too.
That's right.
See, not only everything that the enemy took, but you know what? You get his stuff too.
Amen.
Because here's what God's word says. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Now we're going to begin to pursue this. Taking back what in failure. Come on now. Apathy. Or maybe unrighteousness we lost. Look. Because of our humanity, we have been back on our heels. God's been preparing us, though, to take back. In the book of Amos, chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. In that day, I will restore David's fallen tent. Woo-hoo! I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. Look, did David sin?
Yes.
Where sin abounds, doth grace abound much more? I will restore it. Who's the I?
God.
I will repair, who's the I, and build it as it used to be.
Amen. This year he said the word is pursue, because we're not just going to sit and hold ground anymore. We did that for a reason. We did that for a purpose. But now he said it's time to take back. Now it's time to go in and take back territory, take back what was stolen, take back what is rightfully ours, take back what we lost. It's time to pursue, to no longer just be the ones who are always being pursued. We're not just going to be like the children who were running out of Egypt, being pursued by Pharaoh's army, standing up against the Red Sea going, oh my gosh, is God going to save me? He said, now you're going to turn around and you're going to pursue. You're going to be like David. See, Goliath was pursuing everybody, and David turned around and said, oh, no, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue you in the power of my God. And he said, that's where we're going. We're not going to be the ones being pursued anymore. We're going to turn around, and we're going to be the ones pursuing. Psalm 18:37, I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back until they were destroyed. We got the power. We got the promise. Now it's time to go in, overtake, and not turn back until they're destroyed. No longer us being destroyed. One of the things about David was he was a man of pursuit. He was willing to pursue his enemies. He was willing to pursue the enemies of God. He was a man of pursuit. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was definitely a man of pursuit. In fact, he was the one that God said, this is a man after my own heart. Why? Because he was a pursuer of God's heart.
A man who pursued. Can I tell you I read the story of David and Goliath again. You know what tickles me? It says, here comes Goliath roaring, I'll feed you to the birds. I'll cut your head off. He was talking some smack. You know what David did? It didn't say David stood and waited. It said David ran at him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Man, he said, I'm going to show you who my God is. I am not afraid of you. I am going to pursue. David pursued everything with his heart. Whole heart. He was a man after God's own heart because he was a man who pursued God. Even in his fallenness, Psalm 51, when he is at his lowest point, he says, against you and you alone, O God, have I sinned. Not man, but you, my God. And he pursued God. He didn't go, oh God, I'm a worthless worm, and surely you're going to kill me. He said, against you and you alone have I sinned, my God. And my sin is ever before me. And yet, you are my high tower. You are my strength. The Lord says, I found a man after my own heart in David. We are going to pursue. Here's what the definition of pursue is. To follow close upon. Go with. Attend. To strive to gain. Seek to attain or accomplish. To proceed in accordance with a method or plan, etc. To carry on or continue as in a course of action, a train of thought, and inquiry, studies, etc.
Okay.
It was on the second page. To continue to annoy.
How many of you want to continue to annoy the devil little bit this year? Come on, this is
my
pursuit.
Do you remember the story of the woman with the judge?
I'm going to annoy the tar out of him.
I love this. I love this story. It says, and there was a woman who wanted justice, and she went to the judge. And the judge says, yeah, whatever. And she went, judge, I want justice. And he said, lady, don't bug me. I want justice. Lady, it's already been handled. So it says, she came at night. I want justice. And you know what? He gave her justice. Do you know why? Because she annoyed him, afflicted him, troubled him until he said, I will give you what is rightfully yours. See, to practice, to continue, to discuss. Thank you, Kyle. My knocking was zealous because I was pursuing my point. See, I want the devil to see this. To continue to annoy, afflict, and trouble.
Amen.
I want to continue to annoy, afflict, and trouble the enemy so that he goes, oh, man, is that him again? Dang. I was just listening to this story about this missionary training up other missionaries. And he said when he would come into a village, the enemy forces would go, oh, geez, we better leave. He's here. That's what I want us to do, is to begin to pursue, to make, instead of us, how many of you have heard, as long as I've been a Christian, oh, we're the church, Jesus, hoping that Jesus will come and save us. Now, I'm not all about the boring, angry, jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, let's get all crazy. Let's get crazy.
Come on.
I mean crazy like a fox. Oh, by the way, God has given me a strategy. We're going to wait until we hear the sound of marching in the mulberry bushes. And then we are going to attack. And then we are going to destroy. We're going to take a pot. And we're going to put a lamp in the pot. And we're going to take our swords. Well, and we don't want to take all these guys, because some of them are afraid. So let's just take 300 against 30,000. Great plan, God. That is crazy. I love it. Now see, that is pursuit. Because here comes Gideon. Remember how Gideon started? I am the least of my family. Why are you asking me? I'm hiding. I am in a wine press. I'm hiding. When God grabbed a hold of him and said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, here is what God is saying to you today. Brandy, thou mighty woman of valor. Roy, thou mighty man of valor. Joe, thou mighty man of valor, rise up. For you have been given all that you have need of. Now look, Gideon raised a huge army. And then God said, it's too much. Let me show you what you really need, Gideon. What you really need is me. 300 men against 30,000 men.
Come on, God.
With pots and a lamp in the dark. Now I'm going to blow a trumpet. Break the pots. What happens? It took them 3 days to collect all the goods and spoils. Because there was 30,000 guys to take the stuff from. We got to take some of their horses and some of their camels because we got a lot of stuff. Because God did this thing, we pursued, and he accomplished.
So what God is saying to each and every one of you this year you're no longer going to be the ones being pursued. Amen. This year you're the ones in pursuit of these four things. You're going to be in pursuit of the kingdom of God.
Which is what?
You're going to be in pursuit of the things of God. Whatever he tells you, the things of God, the peace of God, the joy of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the righteousness of God, whatever the things of God are that he is laying on you, you're going to pursue them. You're not going to wait for them to fall on your head. You're going to pursue them. You're going to be in pursuit of the restoration of God. God, things have been taken from me, and I'm going to get them. I'm not going to wait for them to just appear in a Christmas stocking. Come on. Man, I'm putting my boots on, and I'm rolling my sleeves up, and I'm going to get dirty, and I'm going back, and I'm getting what's mine.
Amen.
And then you're going to be in pursuit of the enemies of God. I'm not just going to watch the enemies anymore go in and pluck off my kids. And pluck off my finances and my hope and my joy and my righteousness. You know what? I see you.
Amen.
And I'm coming after you.
Amen.
Amen. Leviticus 26:7. You will pursue your enemies and they will fall by the sword before you. Right here.
Come on.
Get your sword in front of you. Get your sword in front of you. And they're going to fall. For many, many, many people here in this body, and not just in this body, in the body of Christ. If your ears are open to what has been happening in this last year, I'm going to tell you it's been a hard year for the body of Christ. But I'll just talk to this body. There's been a lot of people here, it's been hard. And many of you have felt lame, and many of you have felt broken, and some of you have felt wounded, and some of you have even felt exiled. It's been a tough year. Some of you have felt incredible uncertainty in this year called promise. And you've been like, really? I'm not feeling a lot of certainty here. this year called promise. You thought you would feel certainty. I want to read you something. Turn in your Bibles to Micah as we close. Micah chapter 4.
Jonah, Micah, Nahum.
Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah.
Minor prophets.
Head to the middle and go back into the...
By the way, the minor prophets are not as in lesser, as in their prophetic works are smaller. Not as in they're like, oh, well, he was not like a really good prophet.
In that day. In what day?
That day.
In that day. Why not today?
Well, what day?
Why not today?
What is today?
Today. Today's good, right, Jordan? Today.
Today is that day?
That's what Jordan says. She says today. I say today. In that day, Jordan, I will gather the lame. I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. I will make the lame a remnant.
Come on now.
Those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. And as for you, O watchtower, the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Kingship will come to the daughter of Jerusalem. We're going to pursue. Amen.
Amen?
Amen? And the lame shall leap, the word of God says, and they will jump. You know, in the Bible, there's numbers, and people who study numbers, and numbers mean specific things. And some of you may know this, and some of you may not know this. But we opted to not tell you this until the end of the year. Some things we don't tell you because it would just not make you very happy. But the number 11.
Sometimes the parent doesn't tell the child everything until sometimes it's over. You're going to love school. Trust me. It's going to be great.
The number 11 means chaos. How many of you felt like this year was a little bit of chaos? You know, I'm getting pieces here and I'm getting pieces there but none of the pieces seem to fit together. And God, you're not fitting them together and you're just telling me to sit. And so I keep gathering more pieces, but none of them fit together. Number 11 means chaos. You know what number 12 means? It means government. Do you know what happens when there's government? There's order. And everything this year is going to begin to fall into place. Amen?
As we pursue those four things.
So don't throw your pieces away. Oh my goodness, don't throw your pieces away because then the puzzle really won't fit together this year.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something. Here's some of the reasons why you feel like you've got 27 different puzzles working and you only have 20 pieces of those 27 puzzles, because in unity, we're going to find that Jason has a piece of my puzzle, and Paul has a piece of my puzzle,
Amen.
And James has a piece of my puzzle, and we're going to begin to put the, and we're going to all go, oh, and all of a sudden, we're going to go into battle, and we're going to go, wait a minute, the archers are behind us. Hey, that works out pretty good. They're shooting the arrows over us at the enemy. And the guys with the spears, they're in front where they should be because the points are closer to the enemy. See, because what we've had is we've all been jumbled up. And the guys with the rocks are slinging them and some of them are hitting in the back of our head. And so we want those guys to be able to shoot over, right? See, God is putting these pieces together for a time, a purpose, and a reason. All the pieces are going to begin to fit together, and you're going to... You ever do puzzles? Mm-hmm. Bethy loves puzzles.
Me too.
I love Bethy.
I don't like the three-dimensional ones. Yeah. I like the flat ones.
Because I'm like, oh, man. See, I actually have an eye for these silly things. So I'm the one who'll be like, that piece, I'm going to find that piece, that piece, that piece. And she's over here putting little edges on. I'm like, I'm looking for that piece. That piece right
he doesn't like puzzles.
What's that? That's what she's doing. I am finding that piece. I got that piece. I got that piece. And she's over there, she's putting corners and edges, and I'm like, and then she's like, but we still have like this. I know where that piece is. I know where that piece is. See, and so we're getting those pieces together. And you know, when you go like, oh, it looks like the cover of the box. Right? That's what you're going to begin to see in this year as we pursue. You're going to go, oh, here's God's word. Look, we're starting to line up with it. Wow! It's so cool. Amen?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, Father, we come before you. Lord, to seek after the kingdom of God. To seek after the things of God. To seek after, Father God, the truths that you have given to your people. Almighty God, we have been faithful through growth and through promise. And now as we enter in to pursue you, to pursue our enemies, to pursue restoration, Lord God. Father, that which has been stolen, we will find. And when we find that who has stolen it, they must return sevenfold, Lord. So, Father, what you have laid up for us is the wealth of the wicked, Lord God. I pray you prosper the wicked so that your people, Lord God, will have abundance in every area, Lord God. That as we come to restore the tents of David, to repair them, Father, with you, Almighty God, we will find a supernatural anointing, a supernatural power. We will find, Lord Jesus, where we have been called. And as we pursue our enemies, Lord God, we shall not draw our sword back until they have been destroyed completely. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen. Well, rise up on your feet as we close in worship. And Andy, will you close us out today to I Will Rise? And if you need prayer for anything, if you just need to get filled up with the Holy Ghost, or you need healing in your body, or armed for battle, or whatever you need. Maybe you have a prodigal you want us to agree together with you for, then we're here to pray for you. Otherwise, we love you so much, and enjoy this first day, and go pursue.